When thinking about SETI and alien life, we tend to look to the distant stars themselves, with our radio and optical telescopes assuming that all alien life will be located far away. But there's also a subset of thinking within SETI that maybe it might be fruitful to look close by, just in case, because there are some plausible ways aliens could be here. And remember, Enrico Fermi asked that given the age of the galaxy, they should be here. So where are they? So here are 10 potentially alien technosignatures that could be found very close, as in right on our doorstep, and some may have even been detected. Number 10, transients in photographic plates. A recent paper by Beatrice Villarroel, link in the description below, reports that an astronomical photographic plate from 1950 shows tracks consistent with artificial satellites, a full 7 years before the launch of Sputnik. These transients track across the plate in lines consistent with a geosynchronous orbit, which humans did not achieve until 1963, and the objects are rotating consistent with how a geometrically shaped satellite would do while glinting in the sunlight. And it's not just one candidate, there are at least three, years before we even had satellites. If the plates hold up, they still need to be examined for defects and other plates searched to corroborate it, and indeed to look and see if the objects are still there, then this will be among the most perplexing stories in recent years within SETI. It would be very unlikely for a rock in space to come to a geosynchronous orbit, and it's equally unlikely that someone had leapfrogged the Soviets before Sputnik. We just did not have the rocket technology in 1950 to do it, and the V-2 rocketry of World War II was not capable of launching like that. So if confirmed, we'll need to know what they were, and if artificial, who put them there and why. Number 9. The Close Wow Signal Hypothesis. One of the biggest mysteries within SETI to date was the infamous Wow Signal of 1977. I've covered that signal in other contexts before, but this signal is often talked about as though it had been of distant origin, that it had emanated from light years away. But there are problems with that. One aspect of the Wow Signal was that it was unusually strong. In fact, it was the strongest signal ever picked up by that SETI experiment. If the source was distant, it was extremely powerful. At least terawatts of energy would have had to go into it. But not so if it originated close. A lesser known fact about WOW is that the discoverers of it, Jerry Eamon, John Krause, and Bob Dixon, were able to calculate the minimum distance WOW could have been in order to fit the antenna pattern of the telescope. Turns out it was at least halfway the distance to the moon, which suggests strongly that WOW was not interference from Earth, but that only constrains just how close the source could have been, not how distant. But it is possible for it to have originated in or near the solar system. But if WOW originated close by, there is another odd aspect to it. WOW's frequency was shifted just above the 1420 MHz hydrogen line. This could have been intentional, or it could have been a very slight blue shift, meaning the source of the signal was at the time slowly moving towards us at about 10 kilometers per second. Number 8, long delayed echoes. The ionosphere is strange. In radio, it can cause all sorts of odd effects. One is that it can refract radio waves and cause all sorts of echoes, as ham radio operators well know. Sometimes this also results in picking up an AM radio station hundreds of miles further away than intended. But it has its limits because radio is traveling at the speed of light, and the atmosphere is constantly changing. And that brings in the mystery of long-delayed echoes, or LDEs, where radio signal is returned back to the sender after seconds of delay. It's asking a lot of the ionosphere to hold a signal like that for that long, so it's been advanced that an alternative explanation is something in space doing it artificially. Say something picks up a signal from Earth and tries to say hello the best way it can, by repeating the signal back in an unnatural way. Unfortunately, this suffers from a problem. Since you don't know the interval at which it chooses to return the signal, you can't know the repeater's distance from you. You can put an outer limit on it, but the consistency at which LDEs occur is all over the board. Still, they remain an unsolved mystery. Number 7. Exhausted asteroids. The solar system is about 4.5 billion years old, and for most of that history, it's had a very pristine asteroids and Kuiper belt objects and even comets that have never visited the inner solar system that have remained nearly unchanged since their formation. This means that most of the solar system's small objects, like asteroids, should have a pristine makeup as far as elements like iron, nickel, iridium, etc., even if they have been altered by shock or heat. 4.5 billion years is a long time, and should an alien civilization that happened to be passing through, in some form, stopped here to replenish needed materials by mining an asteroid, it would leave a permanently depleted asteroid that we could geologically detect. We're early in the game here as far as exploring the compositions of asteroids. There are many thousands that we've never looked at, and we continue to discover previously unknown ones on a regular basis. So it may be that in the coming centuries we may find a depleted asteroid that reveals the past transient presence of an alien civilization. And that's not the only option. Jupiter particularly can capture interstellar objects and deposit them at known points in the solar system as a kind of collection area. It's possible that a defunct piece of alien technology could be found at one of these points in the future, but that's probably all we'll ever know. Who they were, where they went, and when they passed through will likely remain a mystery forever. Number 6. Artifacts on the Moon. Earth is a harsh place. It weathers and subducts entire mountain ranges to the point that mountains that were once snow caps are now mere hills. This means that anything we do as a species will weather away once we're gone, due to the actions of water, wind, and weather. But the moon is different. While it does have the lunar gardening process where micrometeoroid impacts slowly pulverize the soil, and bigger impacts destroy things, it's a much more long-term process than here on Earth, and it's possible for the moon to preserve evidence of someone having passed through far longer. This opens up the way for searching the moon for artifacts left by civilizations passing by in the distant past. After all, if you find an inhabited planet that may someday spawn a technological civilization, why not leave a calling card? We could even search subsurface using archaeological techniques to look for buried objects. Think 2001's monolith. Searches for this are planned, and while we probably won't find anything, it should be looked for just in case. And you have to ask, what if we find an ancient weapon? Number 5. DNA SETI. Within SETI, it's been speculated that it is possible that at some point early in the history of Earth, a visiting alien civilization might have embedded a message inside the DNA of all life on Earth, and that we should search our own genome for technosignatures. This type of communications has an advantage. DNA as an information storage medium is very long-lived, because it can self-replicate indefinitely. There are hundreds of genes within us that very likely go back to the very advent of life on Earth. Again, and this is a long shot, it's merely deemed possible but unlikely, but the genomes of Earth life could be searched for any unnatural-looking sequences that would reveal past manipulation. What kind of information could be stored this way is unknown, but maybe the fact of an obvious manipulation is enough to answer the "Are we alone?" question. And it has to be noted, some years ago, researchers in Russia reported candidates for this within the human genome. But nothing has come out on the matter since. Number 4. The Silurian Hypothesis. One of the stranger possibilities that lie within the realm of being technically plausible within science is the Silurian Hypothesis. There are actually two papers out there on variations of this idea, one by Adam Frank and the other by Jason Wright, links in the description below. But the idea is that Earth is well old enough and has had complex life long enough to have spawned a previous technological civilization, that evidence for which wasn't preserved in the geologic record. This would be unsurprising. We've only been highly technological for a short time in our collective history, and if we went extinct right now, most traces of us would be gone in less than a million years. We often think of things like plastic as being forever, but they're not, and studies have been done within the geologic record that most things we make break down after thousands of years rather than millions. Even things like concrete won't survive the relentless weathering of Earth's environment, and the geologic record we have access to is very limited and spotty. Eventually it gets down to radioactive isotope evidence, but even that has its limits. As a result, as we head into space where things preserve better, it's possible that we might find evidence of previous intelligence on Earth that wouldn't be alien but rather cousins, in the sense that we're cousins to the animals. Genetically related and from the same planet originally, but not anymore, and while a counterpart could be called extraterrestrial, it couldn't really be called alien in the astrobiological sense. It's an unlikely scenario, but it's an interesting notion indeed. Number 3. The Von Neumann EMP Destroyer. One of the more scary subsets of the Zhu hypothesis solution to the Fermi paradox is the idea of the alien police action scenario. where an alien civilization obscures its presence and watches you until you attempt to develop a technology that poses a threat to any civilization in the galaxy. A good example here is generalized AI, where the creation of machine intelligence and indeed machine consciousness is inherently dangerous to the entire galaxy and must not be allowed. We don't know how a machine intelligence is going to think. We simply know that if we were to create a generalized AI, it very possibly could think very differently than we do. In fact, it probably would. Indeed, a question within robotics and AI right now is, will it cheat? If you give a computer a task, and it sees a more efficient way to accomplish that task, then why wouldn't it cheat? After all, it doesn't have the same social learning and morals we do, and let's not lie, plenty of humans cheat on everything from games to taxes. But there is also survival, and if survival is the goal of an artificial generalized intelligence, then it may do anything it can to survive, including eradicating any biological threats it might meet. As a result, it would be advantageous, to say the least, for any pre-existent alien civilization in the galaxy that knows this to stop any civilization that may blunder into a technology that's not only dangerous to itself, but dangerous to everyone else as well. One way to do this is contact. Picture a Sentinel probe stationed in a star system to monitor a civilization. At some point, it may try to decide to convince the up-and-coming civilization to not develop a certain technology once they get close to it. But it may be more blunt than that, and the probe simply monitors the situation until things get dangerous, and then goes into attack mode, and starts unleashing technology-ending electromagnetic pulses, and essentially sends the budding civilization back to the Stone Age. Perhaps we live in a galaxy with one Overlord Watcher civilization that was first, and all the rest, including us, get reset every now and again to guarantee the first civilization's hegemony, and possibly even its safety. Number 2, UAP and the von Neumann 3D printer. One subject on this channel that I rarely bring up is the issue of UAP UFOs, mostly because of the ambiguity of the field. I am unconvinced of an alien origin for them, though I fully believe people see them. But unidentified is unidentified, and as the Silurian hypothesis shows, it's going to be very hard to pin an alien origin on UAP, even if some stand up to the bar of science through investigation, such as the Galileo Project. The reality is that the closer the alien civilization is to you, the less likely, both statistically and scientifically, that it is truly of alien origin. To illustrate both aspects of this, on the one hand is the problem of proximity. If you find an alien civilization in SETI literally in the closest star system to you, it's unlikely by proximity because it would imply that the galaxy is absolutely chock full of alien civilizations, and we should see them everywhere readily in everything from technosignatures to biosignatures. We do not. But at least here we have the possibility that an alien civilization came here because they wanted to study Earth and us. Thus it's a special case. And perhaps intelligent alien life is rare, and they take interest in any occurrence of life scientifically wherever they find it. But then you come up against the distance question. Space is enormous and hard to travel through. You need to expend enormous amounts of time and energy to travel interstellar distances. With the Silurian hypothesis always sitting in the background, you have to ask the question that even if you have detected a vehicle that is not made by humans, was it made by a prior technological civilization on Earth that simply pulled a Jeff Bezos and left the planet to its own devices and now lives out in the Oort cloud for cold computation purposes, and occasionally visits the homeworld to see how the up-and-coming humans are doing? That's actually probably more likely than aliens coming here, as bizarre of a scenario as that seems. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a plausible scenario for an alien civilization to come here. There's actually a more efficient way than someone from Zeta Reticuli getting in their spacecraft and coming here. Rather, it involves the von Neumann probe concept, where you can put a probe in whatever star system you want at sublight speeds over the course of just a few million years, and benefit from the fact that machines don't care about time as much as we do if they can self-maintenance or go dormant for very long periods. Such a self-repairing probe could also harvest the raw materials of a star system to make copies of itself, or alternatively function as a 3D printer, with advanced enough technology to 3D print out anything it wants, including probes that could enter the atmosphere of an inhabited world, giving one plausible way within the framework of science as we currently know it, to open up the possibility for an alien origin for the UAP phenomenon. The real problem here, however, is that if there is an alien presence in this star system, they are guaranteed to be more technologically advanced than we are. That means regardless of their intentions, good or bad, they are ultimately in control, not us. And the solution to the Fermi paradox is the worst one, the zoo hypothesis. Number 1. Dark matter aliens and parallel universes. It's no secret that we don't have a complete picture of the universe yet. In fact, it's so woefully incomplete that we've had to conclude that most matter in the universe is invisible, other than its gravitational effects, and it can pass through walls. As a result, we know nothing of dark matter other than it must be there in order to affect a gravitational pull strong enough to keep spinning galaxies from flying apart. We don't know what it is, or what its nature is, or what possibilities lie within it. This has led some to speculate that dark matter could be really complicated, and allow for the possibility of dark matter aliens, or a mirror universe to our own. But that's not the only possibility. It's also been suggested in physics that parallel universes exist both in the many worlds interpretation, where they are infinitely splitting off from each other, but also in the idea that there may be a parallel universe hovering just above us, from which gravity leaks into our universe from. It's anyone's guess that as we further explore physics and learn, what possibilities will reveal themselves. And then there is the question of what happens if they know more about us than we do of them. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently giving another interview heads up. I recently did a rare radio show appearance on Fade to Black with Jimmy Church, where I was interviewed for over 2 hours, on cam no less, for those that still think I'm an incorporeal disembodied voice, about all matter of strange and unusual things hidden within the boundaries of science. It was a fun conversation. Link to the YouTube version of the show in the description below. And check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.